Hello and welcome to this edition of Getting to Know You, a podcast by Waterford Chamber and Waterford Local Enterprise Office. Bit of a strange one for me today as I'm joined by my colleagues, Gerald Hurley, CEO of Waterford Chamber, and Donal Nolan, our Strategic Projects Manager. So not quite sure how this is going to go because I have to try and keep these two boys in check on most days, but we'll see how we get on. We're here to talk about something very important, and that is the Port Alice project, which was launched last week, an exhibition in the Museum of Treasures. So Gerald, we might just start with you, and you might just tell us how this project all came about, please.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned that this is an important project. We actually feel it's something transformational in terms of a new tourism opportunity for Waterford. For us, the journey began back in 2017. I received a call from Anne Cusack of the Granville Hotel to meet what turned out to be the most amazing Noel McDonough. And he wanted to look at exploring the opportunity of sharing the story of Creighton Head, just outside Dunmore East. I was immediately intrigued, and I spoke to Donal, who, as you mentioned, is our strategic projects manager in the chamber. And the four of us met, and it was clear something special was going on there. Donal was subsequently invited to join the Creighton Head group by Joy Rooney from SETU. And he identified potential funding through the Interreg Ireland Wales programme. What I should mention now is that we're actually, it's not just because Donal is here with me, but we're very fortunate in the chamber to have Donal working with us, and he brings an in-depth knowledge of EU funding programmes, not only for this project, but for other projects that we're working on, which is obviously all adds to the offering in Waterford. But as I said, Donal came across this funding through the Interreg Ireland Wales programme, and that in turn saw SETU mobilise resources to secure 1.5 million funding from the EU, which increased to 1.9 million through match funds. So it's quite a sizeable fund that's there to develop this new tourism offering. And I suppose initially our objective from our perspective is to create a cultural tourism network that will allow communities in Waterford or in Ireland and Wales to work together to encourage a flow of tourism through their respective regions and communities. So that's just a kind of an outline of, from my point of view. But Donal will be able to give you a little bit more detail there, I'm sure.
Okay, so Donal, you joined the Creighton Head project. SETU got things in motion. And I suppose, what is this offering? So it's always fantastic to have a new tourism offering in your location, but this is pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the site, the Creighton Head site is a 12,000-year-old site where it's believed to be the oldest settlement in Ireland by some of the American archaeologists that are working on it. Now, we haven't got absolute proof of that. Mm-hmm. It's the Carlsberg route. It's probably the oldest.
Yeah, we'll take probably.
So we did some archaeology on the site, and we've also catalogued some of the finds that Noel McDonough had made, and they've become the basis of our exhibition that we opened last week in Waterford Treasures.
Okay.
And as part of that, there's a VR aspect where you can kind of visualise what the landscape looked like back in the time. So it's another aspect to our museum that we have.
And this is going to be replicated then in Wales as well, isn't it? This is a partnership programme.
Yes, so our partners in Wales are the University of Trinity St David.
Okay.
And the Llanilliad Museum.
How's the Welsh coming along,
that's
Donal?
Not great, I didn't pronounce that right.
He's brushing up.
Oh, yeah.
And please, forgiveness from all my French colleagues, or my Welsh colleagues. But they're going to open a similar museum, or a similar exhibition in their museum, and the idea is they're both exhibitions are pointing at each other, so it's kind of the journey aspect. So it's to encourage tourism between the two regions as well, and it's the kind of first step.
Mm-hmm. And but that's exactly it. This is a first step in what potentially is going to be a massive project.
Yeah. So like the particular part role that the Chamber of Commerce has in this project is to develop this tourism network between the two countries and the partners. So the idea of that is it will identify the next projects that enhance what we've already done,
uh-huh.
and keep developing the tourism offering until we have, you know, increased visitor flows between the two regions.
Because tourism is obviously very important to Waterford, and we have so much of an offering. Mm. But there is potential for more, Gerald, isn't there?
Well, there is, and Donal mentioned the probably Ireland's first settlement. And the Portalis project and the interest between Wales and Ireland is that it was that journey from Wales to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, and this is all, and I think that is the potential of this from a tourism point of view, because it is about a journey, and it is about that first journey from Wales to Ireland where they settled in Creighton. But and this is going back, as I said, over 10,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's phenomenal, really, mm-hmm. when you think of the opportunity as a tourist attraction for that. And as Donal mentioned, the experience down in the museum. That will just give you a taste of what could be produced.
Yeah.
And there are other journeys.
Well, I was going to say that. Well. That there are, yeah, that
means
the first,
so
it is the first city.
But you think of the Vikings, the journey that they came, that they took and settled in Ireland in Waterford for the first time, and then you have the Knights Templar, and they journeyed here to protect the pilgrims traveling to the Holy Land, and then that phrase by hook or by crook. That originated from a vow made by Oliver Cromwell back in the 17th century when he journeyed here to take the city of Waterford. So, I mean, there are a lot of journeys associated around the Creighton. And incidentally, Oliver Cromwell's flagship is just off the coast of Creighton Head. Mm-hmm. So you have all these journeys that if you let your mind kind of wander a little bit, I think it just shows the potential for that area as a major tourist attraction. I mean, when you think of other locations around Ireland, I mean, I grew up in Limerick, and we would constantly go down to West Clare, and I remember the cliffs of Moher when there were cliffs, just as much as you go for a walk on the cliffs of Dunmore East. Look at it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tourist attraction that they have produced effectively out of cliffs. And then when you compare it to the exciting things that happened in Ireland, first of all, with the first settlers potentially, as Donal has said, certainly the Vikings' first settlement, and then the Templars, then Cromwell. There's a story starting to emerge there that with the right funding, with the right ambition, we should be raising our expectations completely. Yeah.
It is about ambition, isn't it, Donal? So you want something big here.
So the next step we're having next week is we have our first meeting of our network group, our local network group, which includes Waterford City Council, SETU, members of the community in the Dunmore area and in the Cheek Point area on the estuary, mm-hmm. and also people from Hook Tourism, because it's an estuary, and we're working as an entire estuary to kind of improve the tourism offering there. So next week we'll have our first inaugural meeting, which will put the group together, and it means we have all the correct stakeholders in the room, which gives us a much better chance to leverage funding when we go to a funder, and the funder sees all these people working together to achieve one goal.
Mm-hmm.
That makes them comfortable.
Yeah. Can I interject here for a second? And Donal, this is kind of more personal about you, but this isn't the first project you have secured funding for. You've worked on others, and we've had others within here. EU funding It's kind of one of these mystery things. There's a lot of money out there, isn't it? If you know where to look.
Yes. There's lots of money for lots of different reasons. The kind of main thing about looking for European money as opposed to Irish money, it's the working together and the learning and the best practice and all the rest of that stuff. So you're and the journey. So you're you're working with other people to increase your network over Europe, and so the European funding wants to, the European Union wants you to work together. So they fund these opportunities
to work it with other countries.
To work with other countries.
And on that, then, I mean, just talking again from a personal perspective, like you're so well travelled through these projects, obviously. Yeah. But even before that, now your working life started here in Waterford.
With Waterford Crystal.
With Waterford Crystal, yeah. And you're an engineer.
Yeah, industrial.
And then you went to Japan.
Japan was actually a European project.
Okay.
It was. The European Union funded 14 European engineers to go to Japan to work in Japanese manufacturing for a year to learn Japanese manufacturing technology and bring it back to Europe. So I was the only Irish guy, but there was two Germans, two French, a couple of English. They coupled it with America, so the Americans sent 14 engineers as well. So we were all sent initially to Tokyo to learn Japanese and culture and stuff.
But it's still with you today, because you eat sushi for lunch all the time. So it never left
Best part of the trip was sushi.
And then you were also in, I know you went to Africa to work on a project as well.
That was with
engineering company.
It was a German engineering company. So we had to go to work for a company called Marathon Oil. So that was all about productivity, though. It was cost reduction and stuff on two of their plants in Equatorial New Guinea.
And then in a completely random one, you had a pub in Germany.
Yes, that was something that was on my bucket list.
Was that the kind of the early midlife crisis or something?
Yeah, it was, and that's what it was. Because after a year, I kind of said, well, maybe this is not for me.
I'm going back to being an engineer.
Okay, back to being an engineer, yeah.
Brilliant. But I suppose all of that comes together with your understanding then of Europe and the global market. And that's what has, I suppose, led you to this point where you're the guy that people now go to get into that European funding and to see what's there.
It was kind of obvious that, like, you know, working with other countries that have done stuff before, like, our ambition here in Waterford is to be carbon neutral. Like, there's other cities in Europe that are working on that as well, and they've made some headway in that space. So why can't we learn for those and get funded doing it? I think that's an important thing for us.
And partner these companies as well.
Partner, yeah, with the.
And it's a proactive approach, Gerald, isn't it? I mean, we can't just sit here and wait for the government and council to hand out all of the money.
No, absolutely not. And actually, EU funding programmes have become a fundamental operations pillar for Waterford Chamber. And Donal is taking the lead in identifying and promoting these high-impact projects like Portalis. Mm-hmm. And it allows Waterford to develop in line with Project Ireland 2040, as well as regional and local development plans. And we need to build that capacity and know-how in the business community. And obviously we require funding to do that. So it's Waterford is, there are great opportunities at Waterford, as we've discussed many times, Linda. And we tried to get that message across. But this is another stream where we feel that we're quite silent. We're not great at promoting some of the projects that we get involved in. Mm-hmm. But we're constantly looking at ways of attracting investment, attracting funding where funding is available. As you know, we're working on another project to try and create a safer environment in the city centre, which is another funding application. So, look, it's very high on our own agenda, and also was suggested earlier by Donal that the cooperation and the collaboration between ourselves and the Chamber, Waterford City and County Council, SETU, even the port in some cases, the Regional Assembly. That these kind of stakeholders collaborating together, it means so much when you're going, like Donal Liz, to Europe, trying to identify funding opportunities, and it puts us very much in a pole position when we're with these funding applications because of the type of collaboration that we've developed here in Waterford, and that you don't necessarily have in other areas.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask. Are we at the party? I mean, is Waterford at this party? Yeah. Are we getting enough? Are we identifying enough? Are we ambitious enough? Are there cities out there that are just cleaning up?
Well, it's since this... this Interreg project that we've been doing now with this group, the ambition has risen and the partnership has risen. We've been asked, like recently, to join this United Nations City of Learning application.
It's UNESCO City of Learning. That's tremendous.
I mean, that's massive.
Yeah. So.
And again, we have a UNESCO site, but you know, yeah. I mean, it's how many people know about it.
Yeah. You know, the ambition has definitely grown, and we've like the end of May, the group I spoke about, the local development group, is going to meet its counterpart group in Wales, and we're going to be discussing there this new Irish Sea Fund that's out there because like of Brexit, the Welsh and Irish government are now talking about having an Irish Sea Fund to replace the Interreg money. So we're going to be discussing how we can access that funding to just continue to develop the tourism and the flow of tourists between ourselves and Wales as, okay, as just one target area. We're going to do other projects that target, you know, like the Nordic countries all over Europe. So.
So you have personal ambition with this, but there is also an ambition, obviously, through the Chamber. We would be an ambitious Chamber, I mean, even compared to a lot of our counterparts around the country. But also, I suppose, you're now starting to see that this collaboration is becoming ambitious. Yeah. And I know you've worked on the projects like BITMAS and other things down through the years, which have connected us with other European cities as well, haven't they? You've been to Spain and
a lot of universities that we, you know, the University of Barcelona now contact us regularly about joining programs that they're designing. A lot of it about decent work. We've ended up working with SIP2. On project applications to develop learning programs. You know, it's new learning, and we have, as you know, one of the biggest skill nets in Ireland, and it's ideal for them to, that's how we get this new learning out to the people. It's through our skill net, and we can offer, you know, new learning that we develop with our European partners to our it gives our local businesses, our regional businesses, that competitive edge if they have highly trained operatives that you know are ready for this future work, this digitization thing and industry 5.0, all this stuff. We kind of, you know, we're working with like German universities and Dutch universities and the next thing we need to know. And it gives, you know, eventually that skill and knowledge will grow, and outside investors will see it, that we have a labour force that's highly trained.
And that's so important, George, isn't it? Just coming back to, like, well, first of all, let's look at the connections that Donal and his partners in these projects, or our partners, have made with other universities. I know that international connection with SETU is something that you're quite passionate about, and students, you know, coming in from abroad, getting their education here, growing the footprint of our university, and being a university of international standing. So I suppose having these connections with these universities, it's one step forward, isn't it?
It is. And it's not so much just with the universities, though. I mean, Paul Nolan, our very active president, is just after returning from Washington, representing the Waterford Chamber at the Select USA event. And that's an annual event in Washington where all 50 plus states are represented in one location. And for anyone that knows Paul, I mean, he's a very active networker. And by all accounts, he certainly didn't let us down there. But when Paul went over, he had this vision as well, as trying to attract and give awareness to the university status that Waterford now has. And certainly you can't underestimate that for the city and the potential. I mean, we've recently received a commissioned report, which was partly funded, I should add, by Enterprise Ireland, on the revitalisation of the city on the back of this recognition of being a university city. So there are a lot of opportunities out there, but it needs a lot of people to work together. I mean, we're a small team here in the Chamber, as you know, and we could only carry out the work that we do without the support of our members and the business community, and indeed our own board. And the various subcommittees that are made up of our members operating within the Chamber. So, look, I think they're very exciting times. There are plenty of opportunities, and I think Donal through Portalis has just highlighted that. And our ambition here it isn't just to develop a place of interest off the coast of Ireland. I mean, we're working very closely, incidentally, with Wexford, on this Portalis project as well. In fact, it's trying to develop a tourism offering along the whole estuary from the Hook, Dunmore East, up along the estuary. And when you look at some of the smaller communities along what has to be one of the most beautiful rivers in Ireland, if you ever fortunate enough to travel up that estuary, and you look at the various communities, obviously it's Dunmore East, you have Passage, Cheap Point, the city centre, up to Moncongreve. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities to develop tourism attractions along there and bring the river itself into part of our offering, our tourism offering in Waterford. And just on that, actually, as you know, we've worked tirelessly over the last number of years to encourage the Greenway coming into the city centre, because it's not just for ourselves, it's for visitors as well. It is additional footfall coming into the city. And we're delighted to be working with Waterford City Council on repurposing the plaza as the beginning of the Greenway. So just, and it really ties into the same kind of story. Mm-hmm. Just as much as where Ireland began in Waterford, the Greenway begins in Waterford as well.
Yeah.
You know, so like there, and I think people need to grasp these things. And you remember, Linda, when we ran this Little Big Ideas at the beginning of the pandemic. People need to be giving us... We're suckers for good ideas.
We are.
You know? So, but if people come up and say... And they just have the same ambition, big ambitions that we have. If they just try and come on board and let's raise... The bar here in Waterford of what we're looking at. We're not just looking at a kind of just an offering. It has to be something substantial, because we are competing with other areas that have major number one tourist attractions in Ireland. I'd like to see Waterford as having an attraction which is up there with the best that Ireland has to offer. And I think there is so much potential around this thing, as I said, where you have Ireland's first settlement, you have the Vikings, you have the Templars, you have Cromwell.
Yeah, there has to be something in it.
But I mean, if you think of a family tourism outing, all of a sudden the ancient East becomes a little bit cool, and it gives the wild Atlantic way certainly a bit of a challenge and a run for the money.
Yeah,
because when you look at the wild things that has happened in the ancient East, I mean, not a lot of the West of Ireland can compete with that.
Oh, we'd be in trouble, and you from the West.
Yeah.
And Donal, if you kind of close your eyes and you think of Portalis, and you know, I suppose as a legacy piece.
Yeah.
Not saying you're going anywhere, but you know, what do you envisage? I mean, do you see a visitor centre out there? Do you see a huge, I don't know, museum? Do you see a thriving community? You know, I mean, are you?
Is the fast answer?
But Gerald is horrified.
Not anything there. There's a lot of difficulty with access to the site and you know, the environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, one of the things that came out of the Portalis project was how would you get access? That question was asked. So maybe it's by sea, or by using our estuary as a conduit for tourism tourism transportation and as well as commuter transportation. So,
so that, developing that a blue way.
Yeah, so that, that kicked off this other idea. So how do you show this to people? And it, it is probably through the VR, visual, you know, the but maybe on a boat, or maybe, you know, the, there's a cruise boat looking, you know, showing what that area was like.
So are we talking kind of more Dunbrody ship style than, you know, House Waterford Crystal structure?
Yes. I think it's a combination of all. I think there is that opportunity there, especially, I mean, if you give this, if similar type attractions around the country, and indeed around Europe, how they could embrace this potential opportunity. I think there's, there is, I think there is a possibility of having a good visitor centre. I agree with Jordan completely. I think because, I mean, I don't know how much it would cost to raise Cromwell's flagship, but you can create that by VR. And actually, it was quite interesting at our expo. Donald introduced me to, when I arrived in the expo, Donald introduced me to this guy, and he maps seabeds and all that sort of thing, and he didn't realise what we had off the coast of Waterford. So you have all that technology out there, and I think it's for us to embrace that. And let's think up outside the box and how we can best promote that and showcase that. And I do believe that there is potential for a visitor centre, not only for the Creighton project, but for the various communities and attractions. As I said, Mount Congreve. I mean, since they've opened Mount Congreve there recently with the new shop and restaurant, it's so exciting to see the number of people going. And always, I think back when I go out there, I think back into the famous Sheikh Mohammed from Dubai's phrase of build it and they'll come. I mean, I think we've actually shown that to a certain extent on Mount Congreve with the work that, and the investment that they've made there. Make the investment, make the attraction world class, have a higher ambition.
Yeah, imagine sailing up the river shore from Creighton to Mount Congreve.
It would just be, but
for it to be accessible for people,
yes.
You know, I mean, obviously if you have a private boat or whatever, but that there are companies now starting to use it.
Just on that, and I think that's interesting you should say that. I mean, by boat, I mean, obviously we have to be very much carbon conscious now. And Dunn was also working on a project. The electric boats
is the idea, and then it's as you said, it's joining all the pieces. So you have Mount Congreve, you have our heritage railway that has its end is in Bilbury, which is right on the river. So
and then you'll have Bilbury to the Greenway now.
Into the city. You can join up all these things, even like Duncannon Fort. That's where Cromwell's flagship was attacked from. So you can join the pieces together, you know, as Gerald was saying, we might not be able to take the boat up, but we may be able to take the cannon. There's six or seven cannon identified there and not deep.
It's phenomenal when you think about it, really, isn't it?
You mentioned Dunbrody and the boat. We could build a replica of that boat. And have it as a tourist attraction.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it with the Dunbrody, with Jeannie Johnson and with all the others, why not?
Why shouldn't we have the same ambitions?
And what I like about this conversation, and Gerald, you know as well as I do that, you know, we go to enough events and we interact with so many people. And the one thing is always there is that the council should do it, or, you know, the government aren't giving us enough money. What I actually like about this is you're not relying... Like, they have their jobs to... And I, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm all for that they need to fund the appropriate things. But this is exciting because it is with them. It's not by them, if that makes sense. And is that the beauty for you, Donald?
You work so close
with the council.
That's part of our legacy of this Port Alice project, is we're leaving this network that has city council members on it, TU members on it, Chamber of Commerce representatives on it, and community representatives on it. So it's exactly what you said. It's everybody working together. Now, the council may have to take a lead on certain projects. Because
just like SETU did.
Like SETU did on this one. And the Chamber will, you know, if it's around industry development, the Chamber would be the ideal lead.
Yeah.
But if it's policy making and capacity building, then it's the city council and education, then SETU. So, but we're all the impact is much higher if we're all working together and delivering a really, you know, good projects like this Port Alice one, and it is good high impact.
It's so exciting, and we'll finish now because we are out of time. But Gerald, it just goes to show the one thing that we keep banging the drum on is collaboration. And it is, like, we have it on our banners, the collective voice is stronger. But it just shows that's really starting to happen now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's easy to say collaboration is so important, and it's very important for the Chamber. It's very easy for us to say that. But I suppose it came home to me, the importance of collaboration, at the beginning of the pandemic, where everything was shut down. No one had any information as to what to happen, where this should be going, from HR issues, from accountancy issues, from every issue you can possibly imagine. And we certainly didn't have the answers ourselves within our own executive team. But we had it was only then we started tapping really in to the expertise of our membership. I mean, if there's any challenge in Waterford, we have members that can contribute to these challenges. As you're well aware of the submissions we make to government.
Oh, I am.
We don't keep on banging the drum about the problem is, please solve the problem. We've started to come up with potential solutions now. But they're not our solutions. They're from experts in various parts of the business community that are experts in their field. And they're advising us that if they were either the Minister for Housing or the Minister for Education or the Minister for Finance, if they were in that position, this is what they would be doing. So it's and for me, that is the great benefit of the Chamber working with not only the business community, but also working through the Waterford City and County Council, the Southern Regional Assembly, and also SETU. I mean, and the Port of Waterford, I should add. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a great sense of kind of a complete community with one vision to drive Waterford on, as I said earlier, with the ambition of Ireland 2040.
Mm-hmm. And Donal, just on a final note, I suppose, when you set off for Japan and on your travels and all that, like, did you think you'd end up back in Waterford? Are you proud to be back here now and actually, you know, leading something,
yes,
you know, that is very much of an interest to an engineer, but... Yes.
There is a real sense of satisfaction if you do something that makes your city better, mm-hmm. for me anyway. And I think that's what really drives me is, you know, if we can get everybody working together. As Gerald was saying, like, we have one of the most beautiful estuaries that... you can anywhere in Ireland, our Greenway goes along the estuary through the mountains and ends up at the sea. It's like no one else has that. So, you know, I think we have all the stuff here, and as Gerald was saying as well, we just need to own it.
Yeah.
And kind of say, look, this is our stuff, you know, come and see this.
And raise our expectations.
And our ambitions, yeah.
Well, look, I don't think there's anybody's going to be able to stop you two boys. And it has been strange to interview you both, considering we spend so much time talking most days. But so informative, and I'm really excited to see where the Port Alice project...
This is what we start talking... This is what we end up talking about everything.
Yeah, this is just like us having chats on the phone, isn't it? And it goes off into some kind of mad idea. And just to reiterate, if anybody out there does have a mad idea, we do like them, so please come and talk to us about it as well.
Please do, yeah.
And who knows, we might be back in our next issue of Getting to Know You with some more mad ideas. You've been listening to Getting to Know You, a podcast by Waterford Chamber and Waterford Local Enterprise Office, edited by Michael Lina and presented by me, Linda Lawton. Tune in next time to see who we get to know next, or see www.waterfordchamber.ie.